You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Our God is a running God. In the person of Jesus Christ, we can see just how far God is willing to run to lead men back from the brink.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour.
Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by one of our guest speakers. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Is told of a man who called his pastor asking him to come to his house. Since the man's shaking voice had indicated an obvious need, the pastor went over right away. And as he entered the room, he did not see the big, strong man whom he knew so well. He saw a sad face, sagging shoulders, a broken man. He was told that the only son in the family had run away from home, leaving no trace of where he'd gone. Under tears, the man told his minister, "I lie awake at nights wondering where Jim is, and I call out, 'Son, where are you?' But I get no answer." In a similar way, the Bible tells the story of man's relationship to God. In the third chapter of Genesis, we read, "Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?'" We can only begin to understand God's call to man then and now when we let the scriptures remind us of what had happened at that point. God the Creator had made a world of perfection and beauty, and to rule and be responsible for this world of peace and harmony, God had created man, who was to live with total freedom in unbroken fellowship with his Maker. But man used his freedom to rebel. He abused his liberty by doubting God's word and rejecting the guidance of the Heavenly Father. Man had run away from home, his perfect home with a loving God. We have had to live with the terrible consequences ever since. Here the story takes a curious turn. God did, of course, speak an unmistakable word of judgment over man's sin, but he did not utterly break fellowship with him. Instead, God comes after Adam and Eve, seeking to call them back from their wrong ways that could but lead to destruction. As he did then, so does God still today call men back into his fellowship, not wishing that any of his rebellious children should be lost or that they should become the victims of their falsely employed freedom, the freedom to decide against God, to say no to him. But men will be men. And like Adam then, so many of us today keep hiding from God. God kept calling his people back through the voice of many prophets. And because they could not run away from these insistent spokesmen, people often simply did away with them. That's hiding. Here and there in our world, the spokesmen and witnesses of the gracious God are still being done away with but by and large, we have become more sophisticated. When God's word calls us, we simply try to drown it out in our conscience or shout it down with our actions. That's hiding too. The people of the 20th century, more perhaps than those of any other age, seem to have developed very devious abilities in hiding from God. We say we are too busy for prayer or worship, too involved with other people and our own lives to be involved with God. Adam tried to hide behind the trees in the garden. We hide behind our busyness. Perhaps later on, we say, when I am old, when I can't get around so fast and so far anymore, then I'll have time for and interest in God or in the church. Right now, other things are more important to me. And so men keep hiding. We keep trying to run away from God. And God keeps calling to us in His Word how much we mean to Him, how He does not want to let go of even a single soul, does not want to let go of you, my friend. God keeps calling for you at this very moment. He wants you for His own. But Adam and Eve found out that God not only calls for them in His Word, God actually came running after them. "Where are you?" He called, and came looking for them, trying to rout them out of the hiding place where they had sought to escape. And it is at this point that we can see just what kind of a God we really have. A loving Father in search of children, who calls out with much longing for those who are lost, and who then goes after them like a father who travels the length and breadth of our country looking for a lost son. You see, our God is a running God. He's not some misty haze or some nebulous higher principle. He is not off in the clouds somewhere, far away. The God of the Bible is not a bearded old man who thrones high above the universe, supremely disinterested in the daily affairs of our lives, like a statue, immovable and inapproachable. Our God is a running God. In the person of Jesus Christ, we can see just how far God is willing to run to lead men back from the brink. Christ left His heavenly home and comes running after the people in this fallen world, calling them back to the Father's house. And as this Jesus goes about in this world, He opens His arms wide. "I want to gather you together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings." But He has to add, "You would not." And so men hid from God by trying to do away with His Son, by trying to silence His ringing call, by attempting to drown out His voice. And He's made to die on the cross for you and me, God's wayward children. And even on that cross, His arms are wide open, as if to press to His heart all the people of this world. That's our God, not only calling out to us in His Word, but coming after us to lead us back home. In Jesus Christ, God proves His love for you and me. In the death of the Son for the sins of all men, we can only marvel at divine love in a fullness that surpasses knowledge. There is no other God. There can be no greater love. And you, my friend, must know that this love is directed at you. The sacrifice of Christ is made for you, for your sin, your guilt, your inner restlessness. Jesus comes running after you even now as you listen to us. He opens His arms and His heart to you. He wants to be part of your life, help bear your burdens, help lead you on roads you walk, and bring you to the right destination. In telling us what kind of a God we have, what kind of a God it is who wants to have us back, the Bible is at the same time giving us a lesson showing the difference between the Christian faith and all human religion. Religion is the attempt by man to reach for the stars, to get close to God. The Christian faith is the story of God coming to man, taking on human nature and giving Himself in the death of His only Son. Religion is the human effort to appease the demands of threatening deities by various works, accomplishments, by sacrifices and offerings, here man stands at the center of religious action. The biblical faith, on the other hand, is God's gift to men to realize that it is Jesus Christ who acts for us, that he is the beginning and end of all that needs to be done for our eternal salvation. And this difference is the difference between life and death. God is calling you. You need to hear him. You must listen to his voice in the Bible. And God is looking for you through Jesus Christ, his Son. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you back to the Heavenly Father. But there is more good news for us. This loving God who keeps calling men, this God who comes running into our world to look for his children, is the same God who sends us out into the farthest reaches of the globe to witness to his love. Here we have to listen once more to what the Bible told us earlier. Many things have been written about man, about his position and dignity, but everything the philosophers have devised or the poets have dreamed about man cannot begin to compare with what God's word says about him. For there we are told that man is created in the image of God. Man had been made to be the crown of God's creation, in harmony with the divine will, in tune with God's demands, holy and obedient. Hand in hand, he was to walk with God through life, receiving guidance from God as a child from a loving father. But when man declared his independence from God, he rejected the Lord's will for himself. When man let go of the Heavenly Father's reliable hand back in the garden, man gave up the real meaning and purpose of living. It was the creature's declaration of non-confidence in the Creator. And right in our own lives, we experience the results. People around us, maybe you are one of them at times, keep questioning their lives. They wonder what the purpose of it is. They ask, is there any sense in what I do? Why work so hard, try to accomplish so much, build a house, raise the children, if in the end there remains only meaninglessness? Men that have let go of the hand of God at one point or another must feel like little children without parents. There seems to be no guiding hand to lead them, no strong shoulder to carry them, no protecting arms to comfort them. People without God who take life and the meaning of life seriously are left with nothingness and despair. It is the road of nihilism, pure and simple. Maybe it won't get to them today or even tomorrow, but it will come as surely as death comes. But people who know themselves held in the hand of God put their confidence in Jesus Christ. And for them, life can be different. Then life need no longer revolve about that big ego. Then life takes as its center point the Lord who died for us and rose again. Such people whom God has freed from their old rebellion, he gives a task and sends them out among the people round about them to pass on the love of God. God came calling for Adam and Eve to lead them back to himself, so that they might tell those after them of the love of the Father. God sent out the prophets to speak of his being there for his people. He chose Israel as a special ambassador before the world, that all men might come to know this gracious God. From the Lord's call and from his challenge to go into the world, a once fearful little band of 12 received new impetus and power for living. The disciples went and spread the news that Jesus Christ died for man's sin, that he frees from guilt and gives purpose and meaning to life. And they themselves were recipients of these gifts. You can be too. The Holy Spirit wants to conquer you in your old self and adopt you as a child for the loving Father. In Christ, God extends his hand to you to take hold of all you are and have and make it new. He doesn't just want to polish the surface of life so that it temporarily looks shiny. God wants to make you new from the inside out. He wants you to experience what it means to be at home in the Father's house, to be strengthened daily. And then you'll see life differently, with redeemed eyes, and live differently as one who is redeemed. Then you see purpose and meaning for yourself. You'll know that life with and under God, makes sense, has a goal, and leads somewhere. Then you won't be able to keep it to yourself how gracious the Heavenly Father is, how great the love of Christ for you, or how unlimited the power of the Holy Spirit for your daily existence. What a God you have. What a God I have. How much love He shows. How far He comes to help us through His Son. And then think, how close you ought to be to Him. He is running after you. But don't run away. Amen.